We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the PACKADAY podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day podcast. Happy Thursday to each and every one of you. I am half of your Thursday crew, Jason Perrone. I'm on X/Twitter, at Jason Perrone. With me, as always, the Packer Report is Mark Eckel. Mark, got a little bit of weather from some of our former regulars, so should we throw it back and talk a little bit of weather before we kick off?
Real quick.
Yeah, why not? So Harry, our friend Harry out in Kamloops, Canada, he doesn't have weather report, but I asked him if he's getting sunshine on his side of the mountain yet. And he said that in about 2 months, he'll have sunshine on all four sides of his house in a given day. So if that gives you some perspective on how some people view the moving sun and the weather in their life, then that's Harry in Kamloops. And then our longstanding friend, Robin Erickson, reached out and he said that, now this was last week, cloudy weather, 28 degrees Fahrenheit, 2 degrees Celsius, drizzle of snow. But again, you know, that's, now am I remembering here, it's Norway, right?
Yeah.
For Robin, yes. I'm now having, it's been such a long time. Right? Yeah, it's been such a long time that it's like I had to remember. I had to try to remember there too. And then a new entrant here, this is from Toby in Germany, who said that this was recently 14 degrees Celsius, 57.2 Fahrenheit most recently. So that's just a little throwback from some of the weather around the world. And I think it's fitting that we did talk a little bit about the weather around the world because breaking news hit early on Wednesday as we are essentially recording here that the Green Bay Packers have been chosen and will open the season against the Philadelphia Eagles in Sao Paulo, Brazil on Friday, September 6th. The Packers obviously worked out that runway issue or whatever it was that they needed to work out. And the Packers will
fly to Milwaukee, I think.
They're going to fly to Milwaukee. And the Packers will open the season against the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. The Packers will be the away team. So now we can talk about all of the ins and outs of this. Mark, you formerly covered the Eagles, so there's a lot of good stuff to talk about here. So which angle do we want to start with first, the news of the Packers opening up internationally?
Well, my only thoughts are, does this help the Packers? Is this a good thing for the Packers or a bad thing for the Packers?
I think it's good.
And because?
Because of the environment of playing at Lincoln Financial Field.
Okay. Yeah, it's an Eagle quote unquote Eagle home game, but it certainly won't be an Eagle home game.
Right.
It's not, you're not going to go to, the Packers aren't going to go to Philly where there'll be, there would be some Packer fans at the link, but not enough to be heard. The Eagles don't, I mean, their Packer fans are everywhere. We know that. And in today's ticket market, tickets are always available. It's not like the old days where, you know, you couldn't get a ticket to a game. I mean, between StubHub and Razor Gator and NFL, whatever they call it, you could get tickets. So there would be some Packer fans there. Packer fans that travel, Packer fans that live in the Philadelphia, Jersey area. There would be some, but not a significant amount. And like you said, Philly, Lincoln Financial Field is not Veterans Stadium for home field advantage. The Eagles lost a lot of home field advantage when they moved out of the Vet.
Yep.
And went to Lincoln Financial. But it's still one of the places, you know, I don't think it's, like I said, the Vet was probably number one or close to number one for home field advantage for a team. Mainly because the field was so bad too. Like, and the Eagle, as Eagle players used to say, we know where the bad spots are. They don't.
Yep.
So, you know, that was always a factor. So yeah, it's, and apparently from what I'm being told, and I didn't know anything about this till all this, the rumors started about the Packers maybe going to Brazil. There's a lot of Packer fans in Brazil.
Yes.
I'm not sure why, but there are.
Yeah, well, all over the world. We talked about this before. Yeah, I mean, the fan base, it's just, I don't know if we really can be surprised anymore at any corner of the world if there's Packers fans.
Yeah. I always thought maybe it's because of, you know, the Brazil's colors were green and gold.
That could very well be. Honestly, those are the kind of things that make up reasons why people become fans. There's all sorts of fun reasons why someone chooses a team.
I mean, if you're a kid playing soccer in Brazil and you start to watch American football, we got to like that team. They're wearing our colors, right? I don't know. That's why a lot of little kids like the Cowboys, because they have the star. Oh, the star, you know?
Yeah. And again, all kidding aside, these two teams on paper are supposed to be fighting each other for the NFC. So
don't leave San Francisco out.
No, of course, there's other teams involved, and Lions, San Francisco. I mean, there's a bunch of teams, right? There's going to be some
top four. I would say right now, and we have a whole draft and a lot of other moves to be made between now and that game. But I would say, the top four teams in the NFC, in whatever order you want to put them in, is San Francisco, Green Bay, Detroit, and Philadelphia.
Right. And so this is, even though it's early in the season, and I've said many times before too, when the Packers lose an early season game, there's a lot of runway and a lot of season to make up for it and make it not matter, or, you know, you're not going to win every game. So when the Packers have lost a really big game early in the season, like it does come back and it becomes part of the equation. But this is big here, because if determining home field advantage, and the Packers would have had a tougher time. Now, you obviously, it's a straw man argument. You don't know how the game would have gone in Philadelphia. We won't ever know, because it's not where they're playing the game. But the Packers get a real break here. I mean, there's a couple. I mean, you know, how many other road venues or games where you can honestly say, like, wow, the Packers really, really got a break here? I would say, like, if they were playing the Seahawks and Seattle was the home team and they had to play in London, for example, like, that's a huge win. The Packers have had absolute nightmares in Seattle. And so this is one of those situations where this could end up being, if it comes down to, like, you know, a one game difference and the Packers have a tiebreaker because they won the week one game for some reason, then it's, you know, it does factor, and it could end up becoming a big part of the story if Green Bay does something really magical this season.
Yeah. And looking at it from the other side, and it's, but again, parlaying it to why Packer fans should be looking optimistically toward this. If I'm the Eagles, I'm not real thrilled about this. I don't like.
Right.
I mean, they named the Eagles as the home team a long time ago. They said the Eagles were going to be the home team. And that bothered some, I know it bothered a lot of Eagle fans that I know, that, like, why are we giving up a home game? You know, so that part of it. Now, not only are you giving up a home game, you're giving up a home game against a good team, a conference rival. I was really surprised. I was really surprised when it came out, whenever it was, about a month ago, that the Packers were one of the potential teams.
Yep.
I was like, nah, it's not going to be the Packers. I figured it would be either an AFC team or a lesser NFC team. Like, I don't know who else the Eagles play in the NFC this year, but they play the South. right? Yeah, because the Packers are playing the West. So, yeah, I thought it might be, you know, Carolina or New Orleans, whoever. I don't know who. Well, I don't know the Eagles' schedule, the real home and road off the top of my head. But yeah, I was surprised that they would make the Eagles play one of the better teams on their schedule in Brazil. But let me ask you this: have you ever been to Brazil?
I've never been to Brazil.
I haven't either. But it's funny that this all came out this week. So what's today? We're taping on a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
I guess it was over the weekend. This past weekend, my wife runs. I don't want to get too much detail, but she's kind of a boss at her company. So she hires people, has to hire people to do different things. So she hired this woman who, you know, lives here now, obviously, but is from Brazil. And I met her, and my wife wanted me to show her where different things were. Like she has to go to different hotels down here and stuff, different resorts. So she just asked me if I could show her where this was and where that was. I'm not sure. I wasn't doing anything that day. So yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm showing this woman around the area. And so I came back and I said to my wife, like, yeah, she seems really nice woman. And this and that. I said we talked a little bit about Rio and San Paulo and all that kind of stuff. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I've been a lot of places. I said Brazil's a place I've never been, but I kind of wouldn't mind going there.
Yeah.
And she says, really? Yeah, maybe we could go sometime. I'm like, oh, yeah. I said, you know, ever since I saw that movie Blame It on Rio like 100 years ago, I thought it was a pretty cool place. And then I've had friends go visit Brazil and come back and say it's beautiful. Again, going to Rio. But anyway, that was, like I said, a week. Now, word comes out today, the Packers are going to Brazil. My wife's like, oh, yeah, now the Packers are playing the Eagles. That's why you want to go to Brazil. I'm like, no, she thinks I set the whole thing up because I knew the Packers and Eagles were going to be playing in Brazil. And that's why I said I wanted to go to Brazil. She's like, oh yeah, right. Your favorite team and the team that you covered for 30 years are playing each other. But you just happen to want to go. I'm like, it really was a coincidence. I know.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. And I don't really want to go for the game. Like I wouldn't. If I'm going to Brazil, I'm not going to watch a football game. I'd rather go to Green Bay and watch a football game.
Yeah, that's me too. But it sounded like from some of the stuff that Mark Murphy had been saying the last few days, it seemed like it was kind of becoming more and more obvious that the Packers the league really wanted this to happen. And so your point about it's a meaningful game and two competitors and all that other kind of stuff too, I'm going to be really honest with you. If you ask me, and this is maybe going to sound a little cynical on my part, but I think that most of these decisions, the first bullet point in why that it happened is the money. I think they want to pick two teams that are going to draw, that are going to be good for TV, that, you know, you're not going to put, although, I mean, they have had some really bad matchups in London before. So I guess that debunks my theory a little bit, but because that, you know, how many years did Jacksonville before they were good playing London? And they weren't very good, but I, for this one here too, especially for it being like the, you know, the first game, I don't remember if this is the first game ever in NFL game in Brazil or not.
Yes, it is. That's the first one.
But obviously you want to go in with a bang. And you want to make it a big one and have it be a big feverish pitch. And so, yeah, if I don't blame the Eagles. I don't blame the Eagles at all here. It's you know, it's one thing if they have to face, like, you know, the Broncos or the Raiders, or, you know, I'm just, you know, grasping at straws for teams that aren't as good. But this is a big time NFC game, and you want that advantage. I mean, the Packers have not played well in Philadelphia. In fact, I think the last time that they won a game out there was in 2016. They and then, you know, prior to that was the playoff game in 2010. They just don't have a good record out there. Jordan Love, you know, put up a good effort against them a couple seasons ago, but they came up short because they gave up 600 rushing yards to the Eagles in that game there too. So, you know, it's I as a Packers fan, I'm happy to avoid the, but I myself, no, I don't, the logistics and all the travel of all that too. Like, I just looked forward too much every year to going to Green Bay. There's just something special about being there. And I also grew up in the Milwaukee area, so I have other reasons like why I like to go to Wisconsin. So I'm still going to be really closely watching the schedule. Now, you made a good point with regards to how does the rest of the schedule go and how do they follow it up? And so the Packers are playing on a Friday, And then it would seem like they won't play again because of the travel and all that other stuff. The league has to give them a little bit of a break until either Sunday night or Monday, the following Monday night. And that could be a home game for the Packers. So I'll be curious to see who their...
It would almost have to be a home game.
Yeah. And I'd be curious to see who their opponent is on that or for that particular game. But we've got a few more weeks before the schedule comes out.
Yeah, the schedule will come out like probably that week. Like the draft's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The schedule will probably come out that Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would think.
Yeah. So
it used to be out by now. It used to be out.
Yes.
Way before the draft.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it used to come out right around the opening day of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason.
Yeah, and it was a huge, you know, that for somebody like me who works in the hospitality industry, it was always a really big day because it was this. It was almost like I had to kind of let my bosses know because it was always a weekday. I always had to let my bosses know like, hey, you're going to lose me for about a half a day because as soon as the schedule comes out, I'm going to have to drop everything and start getting all of my travel partners and everybody on the logistics of where we're going to stay because the first thing you got to do is get the hotel. That's the hardest part is getting the hotel because there's going to be tickets. You know, you can get an air, you can fly into, you got multiple places you can fly into and drive if you need to, but you got to have a place to stay. That's the toughest place or the toughest part of the equation there too. And the hotels in Green Bay within the last probably 10, 15 years, finally, you know, got onto the concept of revenue management and said, hey, we need to protect these weekends in September, October, November, and December. Even if we don't know if there's going to be a game, we shouldn't be selling any under premium rates until we know for sure that it's, and if it's not a game weekend or if it's going to be an away game, open it up and charge your normal prices. You know, but they have to protect those games because they, you know, you only get eight of them.
Yeah, I know nine now, but oh yeah, I know people that used to book. They'd pick whatever hotel that, you know, whatever Hilton, Marriott, Wyndham, yep, whatever it was, just pick one and book every weekend.
Yep, can't do that
and
anymore.
And then when the schedule comes back, they would just call back and cancel 10 of them or whatever. You
right?
Know?
Yeah, yeah, and they don't let you do that anymore because they have minimum length of stay and. You know, one place I would love to stay at Lodge Kohler at some point, but they're very heavily restricted. And honestly, I think the only way to get a reservation, and if anybody has any experience with this too, reach out to me. And it's, you know, it's funny cause I'm the hotel guy, I should know better. But my understanding is, my experience is if you want to stay at Lodge Kohler, you almost have to call them and talk to somebody over the phone and figure out what your options are because they'll take I think they would let you reserve like a 4 or 5 night stay because they're not going to turn that away. But if you're calling up and you're saying, hey, I just want to book a Saturday or Sunday or a Friday, Saturday, Sunday or whatever, and I'll pay whatever rates, they might still say, we're not selling that yet because they don't know enough to know what their pricing is actually going to be or whatever that is. But that Lodge Kohler looks really, really nice. I've been up to the bar at the top there. It's really cool. It's nice. And it's obviously in the shadow of Lambeau Field. Have you been there?
No, I have not.
I didn't know if you got over there last year. Okay.
No.
Okay. So Packers-Eagles, week one, Friday. It's going to be the only game on that night.
And you're going to have to get Peacock to watch it.
You're going to have to get Peacock to watch it. Now it's
well, unless you live in Green Bay or Philly.
That's true. They'll have it on a local,
probably Fox affiliate or something like that.
The local feed. And again, you know, it's not... The streaming thing is just, we have to embrace it. It's just the way it is. And that's not just sports. It's anything. These really good TV shows and series and definitely sports too. I mean, we're inching towards every year an a la carte, like, you know, if you want to watch a game, you have to almost pay by the game and different games are going to cost different amounts. And I'm sure at some point before it's all said and done for me, the Super Bowl is going to be a pay-per-view event.
Oh yeah.
So that's just...
Well, when you say pay-per-view, I don't think it's going to be you think it's going to be pay-per-view like a heavyweight fight?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Wow. See, I think it's going to be on like you just said, Peacock. Like somebody asked me when it was just the Eagles, when we knew the Eagles were going to be in the game. Somebody, an old friend, whatever, sent me a text or whatever. Hey, are you going to get Peacock to watch the Eagle game, the Eagles opener? And I said, I already have it. They said, oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm a TV kind of guy. I watch a lot of things, so like I get Peacock, I get Paramount, I get Netflix and who I mean, I spend more, I waste money on stuff like that as opposed to other things, wasting it on other things. But, and it's going, like you said, in 5 years, there's not going to, you're not going to be watching not cable TV. Cable TV is going to go the way of newspapers.
Yes. Or it'll turn into something else.
Yeah. Well, that's the newspapers. So they turn into online. Yes. You know, I mean, though, yes. And only like a cable will still be around, but you're not, it's not going to be what it was. It's like a newspaper. Like every, you know, 20, 30 years ago, everybody bought a newspaper, right? You had to buy a newspaper. That's what you did. You found out your news through the newspaper. And, you know, you watched TV through cable. Once cable took over your regular TV, when you used to just watch a couple channels, but, you know, everybody had cable. Well, I know a lot of people that don't have cable anymore.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people. I have it because I have no choice where I live. I'm in a high rise. I get what whoever decided to give all of us, you know. But I also have my Fire Stick, which has all my other stuff on it. So, yeah, I don't watch a lot of stuff off the cable.
I haven't had cable in probably 15 years, but that's because I did DirecTV.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted the Sunday ticket. So I had DirecTV for a long time. Then AT&T took it over and ruined it and made it terrible. And their customer service could not have been worse. And then I finally, when I moved into my most recent place, probably what, 6-7 years ago, I just did YouTube TV and said, I'm just going to stream it and it'll, and then, when they announced that YouTube had the ticket, yeah, I got lucky. And that was, you know, that was a huge win for me because, and I know that DirecTV has streaming options now and all that kind of stuff too, but it's chasing everything. And I know we're going down a little bit of a rabbit hole here, but locally here for me too, it's been frustrating because wanting to watch, you know, the Diamondbacks were good last year and they, you know, they've been terrible this year so far, but, you know, hoping that they get good again, they're on a Bally's situation. And I can't stand Bally's, that whole thing, because, the only way you can get Bally's is to have coax cable in the Phoenix market. And that's just so antiquated and dumb. I just think that's, how do you not have something like that available to the streaming world where it's like you're losing revenue? I mean, people would legitimately pay for, you can get the MLB package, but for a long time, the MLB package also blacked out home games too, or they had restrictions on home games too, and they couldn't figure out how to make all that whole thing work. But yeah, it's the TV thing is just, it is what it is. But long story short, you're going to want to make sure you have Peacock so you don't have to miss this game. Because it's really cool. I mean, the Packers game in London, now that was did not end up well.
No.
But it was cool to, like, see the environment and watch them play in a different place. And, you know, hopefully this game turns out better than the London game did.
That was the Giants home game, though.
That was the Giants, right. And that
That was a Packers home game.
Yeah, it was a Packers home game because they have not, the Packers have not enjoyed the ninth game at Lambeau Field yet.
Well, they will this year.
This year. Yes, they will this year. So just a quick reminder for everybody, this is a road game against the Eagles. So the home opponents for the Packers, just to remind everybody too, they obviously Bears, Lions, Vikings, divisional opponents. They will host the Cardinals, Texans, Colts, Dolphins, Saints, and 49ers, and then their road opponents, again, away at Chicago, Detroit, Minnesota, at Jacksonville, at the Rams. They finally play the Rams in L.A., at Seattle, so they'll have to play in Seattle this year, and at Tennessee, and then obviously the Eagles game to start the season.
Football season is over. College basketball season is over. The NBA and NHL regular seasons are almost over. But guess what? We are still in a wonderful sports time of year with the start of a new baseball season already kicked off and NHL and NBA playoffs right around the corner. And what better way to get hyped for playoff hoops in hockey than by signing up for Prize Picks and getting in on the excitement with America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks is the place where you can use your knowledge to take $10 and turn it into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball entries today. That's 100 times your money with as few as 4 correct picks. And here's something I haven't even mentioned yet. You can play against some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill or Sugar Shane O'Malley. Just go to Community Plays under the Promos tab to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community. And one of my favorite aspects of Prize Picks too is injury insurance. Your entries will stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For example, let's say you have a basketball player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second half. That player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry still stays alive. This week, I'm going NBA heavy. I'm looking for a Bucks bounce back with Giannis, a fiery Kevin Durant to end the season, and Luka Doncic going scorched earth as they try to secure a better seed. Listen, I'm having a blast with Prize Picks, and you should be too. So download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, it's all in all, I understand why they do it, and it's not going away anytime soon, and it's just going to keep expanding. You know, Brazil this year, and we've had Mexico City. You know, we've had Germany and a bunch of games in England. I'm guessing France or Italy will be next, right?
Probably. Probably.
You know, Asia, is Asia on the table?
Don't rule out the Middle East. I mean, you've got very big. You got very big audiences that this league wants to get in front of. They want to get huge. And I mean, again, another rabbit hole to go down. But with the way that the price of these teams is going, not that any team is up for sale, but the days of the single owner model are probably going to be gone. You're going to start seeing institutional money, and like the Saudis own a lot of sports, and so don't be surprised if they have their hand in an ownership group of the NFL, and all of a sudden the NFL is starting to play more games way over there. And yeah, you know, it's only going to grow. These are revenue streams, and the NFL wants their money. So
now here's a good point that somebody brought up earlier when I was reading stories about the game. One of the problems in the London trips or the Europe trips is the time difference and the jet lag that you suffer when you come back. You know, because it's a 6-hour time difference, right? In London, Europe.
So at least, well, yeah, three, up to three, eight, something. Up to eight, depending on where you're,
right, right,
yeah.
Depending on where you are, right. Well, São Paulo, you know, Brazil, I believe, to Green Bay is only a 2-hour time difference.
2 hours. It's right now, it's 2 hours ahead. So it's only, you're only losing 2 hours.
Right. 2-hour difference. So that's no different than going to a game in Seattle or LA, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a big, you know, so that's a big difference in terms of your jet lag and all that kind of stuff. So if, and again, I'll say this again, if you're going to have to play an international game, the first week of the season is the best time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because the first game's always kind of goofy anyway. I wonder now this. Now here's something to think about. And we're not getting to what we're supposed to talk about today, but that's okay because this was news. You know, first game to the season generally, the last few years, not just Pac, around the league, have been sloppy, have been, you know, people joke that it's really the last preseason game because nobody plays in preseason.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
You don't play your start. Because you're playing this international game now, and because it's an Eagles-Packers, you know, it's a tough game. Will Jordan Love and the starters see a little more time in preseason this year?
Yeah, anything is possible.
I think they should anyway, but that's just that's just my thoughts. But because I'm not worried about – I don't play afraid. I don't play, oh, he might get hurt. Well, he might get hurt falling out of bed. I don't mean, you know, anything could happen.
Anything is possible. And I think the Packers are going to want to avoid a slow start. They're going to want to come out hot. And if you want to come out hot, you have to be ready. And if you want to be ready, you got to play.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it's this is another interesting twist on what's always an interesting season. But so you're not going to go?
No, that's not. I definitely don't have plans to go at this point. No, yeah, no. I'd rather go to Green Bay. I'd rather do my annual pilgrimage to Green Bay. And again, like I said, I have other like friends, like no family in Wisconsin anymore. Everybody's like moved elsewhere. But I have other friends and stuff like that and other things that I like to do while I go. So it's a whole experience. It's not just, I don't fly into Green Bay. I fly into Milwaukee. And so there's a drive up. So there's a whole thing to it. And it's just, there's a novelty to a lot of the things that I enjoy doing when I go there. So it would take a lot for me to give up going to Green Bay and doing something else. And we were talking before the show too. And I have a much better, the team fares much better when I go to watch them play at Lambeau Field than they do on the road. Whenever I go watch them play away from Green Bay, I've had some really, really lame, stupid, dumb experiences with the team and games and the way they turned out. And some of them were okay and fun, but some of them were just, you know, putrid and awful. And so I don't really want to tempt fate too much there. Now, remember, I live in the Phoenix locale, so there have been some really dumb games against the Cardinals. I'm glad they're playing the Cardinals in Green Bay this year. I'll just say that. I wouldn't be as excited to go watch the Cardinals, the Packers-Cardinals, so I hope they don't open up. Like, for example, that Week 2 game might be one I'd have my eye on. Like, I don't want them to open up against the Bears because that would be lame. But if it was like the Lions or something like that, that would be a really cool one to go to. Home opener, still warm weather, mm-hmm. Monday night. Go check it out. Last year I went to Week 3 against the Saints. That one ended well, but it took a while to get there. It was 2.5 hours of very quiet, just, you know, should we just go and start drinking and eating? But the topic that we had set for today before this news came out, this was kind of a fun conversation here, was your scout notes on the offensive side of the ball for the upcoming draft, which is only a few weeks away. So
2 weeks from today.
2 weeks, that's right, 2 weeks from today. And so the interesting thing here getting the offensive side of the ball is not that the Packers don't have needs. They have needs all over the roster. I mean, you still need to create depth and all that other kind of stuff there too. But it seems like with the premium picks that, you know, a lot of the discussion about the Packers and what they're going to do with those more premium choices has been centering a lot more around the defense because of the change in scheme and just the needs that they have at some of those positions there. You've got edge, corner, and all that other kind of stuff there. On the offensive side of the ball, you don't want to ever rest on your laurels and say like, oh, we're set, we don't need anything. But they're in a pretty good position. I mean, you and I talked about I think that we would have both agreed if we weren't trying to just pick different positions for discussion opportunity that tight end is not an area where they need to focus, right? So that's one entire group there. They've got quite a few pass catchers. Well, you can never have too many good receivers on a team. But they've got quite a few pass catchers. They seem pretty set at quarterback. I think we can agree on that right now. Mm-hmm. So on the offensive side of the ball, Mark, where do you want to start with the notebook there where it seems like most of the conversation has been building some depth on the offensive line?
Yes, that's where the Packers are going to. I wouldn't be surprised. They have, 11 picks?
As it currently stands.
Yeah, if they keep 11 picks, I think they draft at least 3 offensive linemen.
Yes, sure.
Some, and maybe more, but at least 3.
Safe assumption.
And I think they'll go 1 early, 1 mid, 1 late. Mm-hmm. Maybe even 2 early, 1 late. I mean, just because of the depth, like you said, they lost already. David Bakhtiari is gone, as we all know. They may never, who knows if he's going to play again. Yosh Niemann was a free agent. They didn't even show any interest in keeping him, and he went to the Jaguars or Panthers?
Panthers. Yeah. I'm sorry, Carolina.
Yeah, he wanted to come closer to me. And then John Runyon Jr., who they had some interest in, but obviously not enough, signed a real good deal with the New York Giants, 3-year, $30 million deal. So that's 3 bodies that aren't going to be there. Now, Bakhtiari wasn't really there anyway because he was on it, but still, it's a guy that was on the, that was, he wasn't on the 53, but he was on the team. You know, they have some, their backups right now are very unproven. Not that a rookie would be proven, but, you know, guys like Caleb Jones, Luke Tenuta. I mean, they haven't played. So there's minimal depth to this team. Now the starters are, I don't mind the starters, or at least 4. I mean, I like Rasheed Walker. I thought he played really well last year. We've talked about him week after week. Zach Tom was an unbelievable 4th round pick. You got Elton Jenkins. Now Josh Myers, now I know some people, I probably like him more than most. I don't think he's as bad as some people think. I think he's okay. But he's in the final year of his contract. So you may or may not depending on what you do in this draft, you might be drafting his eventual replacement. So yeah, they're going. The offensive line is, the Packers are going to address. Now I don't know if they're going to do it at 25 or 41, but they're going to do it more than once. They're going to hit and let's be honest, the Packers have had, for whatever reason, and I think it's credit belongs to Ryan Gutekunst, obviously, for making the pick, but his scouts for, you know, the job they do finding these offensive linemen, and then the coaching staff that coaches them up. But they have gotten, like the guys we just mentioned, Zach Tom, fourth round. David Bakhtiari was fourth round. Mm-hmm. Rashid Walker was seventh round. John Runyon, who just, like I said, just got a real good deal from the sixth round. Yosh Niemann wasn't even drafted. So, I mean, they have found some very good and some, you know, pretty good offensive linemen, you know, day three. So I think that's where you might see a couple of the offensive linemen come. But this is a good offensive line draft. The tackles, according to the guys I talked to, they say there's a couple that are ready to play. There's a lot of guys with upside that they don't think they're ready to go in and play right now. But if you draft them and develop them, you're going to come away with a pretty good player. Now inside the guards and centers, one scout told me it's the best group he's seen in a long, long time.
You mentioned that, and that's not usually the case, right?
No, usually that's what the one guy said to me. It's the first time he's ever remembered there being more and better guards and centers than tackles.
And I want to just say this too. It seems like the Packers for a long time loved to draft tackles, and then if there was an opportunity and if it was a better fit for them, they would move them into guard or center. I don't Right. know that it works the opposite very often. I don't think you often will find a guard or a center that you can convert No. into a tackle. Tackle is a very specific Right. skill set.
Exactly. I don't think the Packers, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, I'm sure somewhere along the line, but maybe going back to Aaron Taylor, but the of their current guards and even like the last whatever many guards, the Packers, I don't think have ever drafted a college guard. If you look at recent, John Runyon was a tackle at Michigan. The Packers made him a guard. Now everybody thought that. It wasn't like the Packers created that. When Runyon was coming out, every scouting report, every Mel Kiper guide, every Arlads, whoever, almost to a, I don't remember anyone saying, oh no, he can play tackle. Almost everyone said
he's a guard.
He'll be a guard in the NFL.
And then don't forget, Elton Jenkins was a center.
Well, Elton Jenkins was a center.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Sean Ryan, who right now would be your starting guard, was a tackle at UCLA. Go back a little further. Guys like TJ Lang and Josh Sitton were both tackles in college mm-hmm. that got moved. Matter of fact, TJ Lang, when he first got to the Packers, they tried him to tackle.
It was a disaster.
And he wasn't very good at it. So they moved him to guard where he was very good. The Packers don't draft, or they haven't drafted just a pure guard. They've drafted tackles and made them guards.
Which is why it's interesting whenever there have been some mocks and stuff like that where, like if I remember correctly, Dalton Risner was a name that was mocked heavily to the Packers a few years ago too, and the interior, and those are guys that typically are mid to late round. But again, and I said it last week, Brian Gutekunst should be puffing out his chest because his team has proven to be so good at finding that talent that you don't want to ever take anything for granted if there's a good player there to be had, but I think they can trust and say, hey, we trust ourselves to find somebody that can actually step in and play in the rounds 3 and 4, and let's do some other kind of work in 1 and 2 and get some really high impact players on the defensive side of the ball or at a different position on offense. So
I'm going to give you the guy that I think the three scouts I talked to liked him. We ranked them as the fourth best tackle. Behind Joe Alt, who's number one, from Notre Dame. He's going to go. He'll be long gone by the time the Packers pick. I like him because if you're getting his autograph, it's not going to take up a whole lot of room.
Right. Six letters.
Right? Six letters. And if you're writing about him, it's very easy. Joe Alt, and you don't have to look. I would never have to look up anything that had to spell his name.
Good point.
J.C. Latham from Alabama was ranked second by these guys, slightly ahead of Olu Fashanu from Penn State. And then the guy that I really like, and I think he could be a Packer, is Jordan Morgan from Arizona.
Okay. Yeah, now Morgan's name, you're not the first person who's mentioned his name.
No, I know. And I like him. He's going to be a late first round pick, I believe. So, I mean, he's going to go Some people think Packers can get him in the second round. I'm not so sure about that. But he's a tackle who one of my three guys said, no, I'd play him a guard. Now, the other one said, you could move him to guard, but there's no reason he can't be a good tackle either. So the Packers like that. That's the kind of guy they like.
Versatility.
So you could make him, if they were to take him, you let him compete with Sean Ryan for right guard. If he wins, fine. Then he's your starting right guard. But you give him a little bit of work at tackle that if something were to happen, he could slide, he could move out there. Or if he doesn't beat out Ryan, then he's your backup right guard and right tackle. Right? That serves a purpose too, right? Because you don't have to dress two guys for a game. He's 6'5", 314, which kind of fits into what they like their sizes to be. Because if you notice, the Packers don't like these real big. They don't draft a 340-pound guys too often.
Right.
If at all.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go for those mass, the guy from Georgia, Mims, Marius Mims.
Mm-hmm.
And I see some people giving him to the Packers. He doesn't really fit. He's 6'8", 340 now. He's a massive, massive man. But that's not what the Packers usually do, right?
No. There's the size profiles, the athletic profiles, all that stuff is very well known, well documented. And if they're going to break mold, okay, that's fine. You look at Caleb Jones.
They have
Caleb Jones undrafted. That's different. Yeah. Obviously that's where you do that kind of stuff, right? But yeah, they've got specific things that they're looking for within this offense. They know what the LaFleur offense needs, what works, what doesn't work. And again, what did I say before we started recording? And having covered the Eagles for a long time, I know it wasn't the Eagles that coined the phrase, but trust the process. Brian Gutekunst and his team I'm on the side of he has done a good job as a general manager. There's that faction out there who say like, oh, well, he missed on this and that. I mean, come on, Ron Wolf had some really terrible whiffs as well. And Ted Thompson had some really bad whiffs as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think Gutekunst has done a much better job than not. And if if for no other reason, then, take a look at the guy who's throwing the football right now. It looks like the Packers have, now I'm not going to anoint him a Hall of Famer. I don't have him getting fitted for a gold jacket or standing on a Super Bowl podium with confetti falling on him yet, because there's a lot to be done before any of that stuff can happen, if it even does. But the kid can play. And so at the most important position in a way that was very highly unpopular, ice water in the veins, I think this draft with the capital that they have, I have very high expectations, and I'm going to allow myself to have those high expectations because I think he's proven that they're going to probably do some pretty good things. Now, have they had some drafts that weren't that great? Yes, they have.
Yeah.
If you go back to 2018 with the Josh Jackson pick, for example, there's always stuff. There's always things that come up.
Me a team that hasn't had that.
Right, exactly. I mean, and look around the league and all these different things that go on. And there's more than just the players. There's the stuff that goes on off the field. I mean, we're hearing about prospects who are getting DUIs. We're hearing about players who were recently drafted who are running away from the scenes of accidents in other cities and other teams. And, there's all kinds of variables that make this really, really difficult. They just make it really, really tough. And these decisions are made in real time. I think what's going to be fun for me is how the quarterbacks are going to lay out at the top of the draft. Obviously, the Packers won't be involved in that. But how the quarterbacks are going to lay out, and because there's always a surprise up there. I feel like everybody's like, oh, it'll be Caleb Williams to the Bears, and then it's very likely that, J.J. McCarthy will go number two overall. Well, what if Adam Peters, who I know...
I think Jaden Daniels is going too, but that's just me.
But, and Daniels, right, that's what I'm saying is, what if I could see Washington taking him?
Yes.
I mean, I can absolutely see that happening. And then all of a sudden, then what happens? Who jumps and leapfrogs? And that's where you start to see the movement and all kinds of fun stuff going on with that draft. But I think, on the offensive side of the ball, now at receiver, the thing we talked a little bit about before the show started, at receiver, yes, the Packers have quite a bit of talent. You're like, well, why would you? You've got enough receivers. Well, you want the best five or six guys that you can put out there. I know that there's some that are big fans of what they think Malik Heath might be able to do. But if you can draft somebody who can step in and be better than him right away, and you made a good point too, play special teams as well, then there's no reason why receiver has to be way, way down on the wish list.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's got to be the right. I mean, that'll be interesting, and that's going to be interesting. Will the Packers take a receiver? And if they do, where do they take them? Because, I mean, they're going to go by their board. That the Packers are a team that kind of looks at they like their board, mm-hmm. And if he's picking, you know, that late second round pick, their own second round pick, say for instance, I don't think they're going to take him at 25. You agree with me there?
No.
If Marvin Harrison's there at 25, by all means.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, at that point, yeah, but if he's there at 25, then something off the field happened.
He either killed somebody or he got killed.
Yes, yes.
So you're taking a dead man or a guy that's going to jail. So, yeah, that's the only way he'd be there at 25. So, but now if you're in the second round, even 41, but if you're in the second round and there's a guy there, there's a receiver there that the Packers had a first-round grade on, and everything else kind of went according to their book, and now they're up, and this is the only first round grade left. And he said, they may take him.
Yep.
Now, I don't know who that guy might be. It could be a guy like Mitchell from Texas, Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. I mean, there are guys that are border, like some teams like them. It's funny. And this year more than ever, I've been doing these talking to scouts for God, I don't know how many years now. And a lot of times you get the opinions are kind of the same. This year, more than ever, it was interesting. And we'll see who was right and who was wrong, but there was not a lot of consensus. I mean, on even not just who number one, well, not number one, some, like everybody thought Marvin Harrison was number one. But, you know, when I asked them all for their top five at each position, and there were positions where somebody's third best didn't even make somebody's top five,
mm-hmm.
You know, and there were some, there were some where they had the same five, but you know, one, so somebody that was one was three, and somebody that was two was five and stuff. So there's definitely differing opinions from three guys from three different teams. So, and I'm not going to tell you, I can't tell you who the teams were, but you know, I'll just say team A, B, and C. So, you know, if the player that team B really liked, team C's not taking it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. I mean, I, unless they're lying, and there's no reason to lie. So, you know, I know that team C isn't taking this guy. So team B might get him later than they thought they might.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some big name players, Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, who everyone, you know, the media loves him. Well, I had two of the three scouts told me, yeah, he's a media. The media likes him way more than teams do. Like they don't think he's a top 10 pick at all. Like some people had to have him go on top. There's like, he, you know, yeah, he's the best tight end in the draft. They agreed on that, but that he shouldn't go to the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
That he's not that big and he's not that fast. Now he looked great at Georgia because Georgia schemed him up very well, and he was very, very productive for a very good team. But that doesn't always translate to being very good in the NFL, where he's going to be going against. NFL team isn't going to be able to do with him what Georgia was able to do, because they're not going to find that bad linebacker that can't cover, or the bad, mm-hmm. or to say bad safety that, you know, that they can match him up on and have him make plays, because
right.
guys in the NFL are just better. So that's a couple people's theories now. So I'm real anxious to see where he goes. I had both, all three agreed that the tight ends from last year, the Musgrave and Kraft and Meyer and Kincaid and who's the guy in Detroit, LaPorta, that Bowers was smart coming out this year, because he would have just got lost in the mix with those guys, as opposed to this year, he is the top dog.
And that's the other thing too, is, and again, this goes back to my grading on a curve thing. And it's like, you know, he's the best in the class, but does that mean that he's worthy of being picked there? And it just depends on some teams do draft for need. Not everybody has the same approach to drafting, and don't think the GMs are immune to the narratives and stuff that get put out there as well. And some of the stories, and they get spooked by certain things, and they do or don't take players because of that stuff. So I just, again, I'm glad that Brian Gutekunst, I think, is very level-headed about the whole thing. But they do have their board, and the one thing we know that's happened a lot, now it's not always the case, but one thing we do know is that first pick, a lot of times, doesn't tend to be super, super obvious for the Packers. It doesn't seem to be somebody that's like, oh, we knew that one was coming. There have been times where it did happen. No. I think Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix was a little bit more obvious. Dayton Jones was an obvious one.
That's before Goody, though.
That was Ted Thompson. Yeah, those were Ted. Yep,
Ted
those
were more obvious.
Those were
Ted.
Ted,
it got to the point where you knew Ted was taking somebody out of the Pac-12.
Yeah, that's very true. That happened a lot.
Oh, my God,
Nick,
it was like 10 years in a row.
Yeah, Nick Perry, Clay Matthews, who traded back up for him. Like, yes, yeah, Kenny Clark.
Kenny Clark, Nick Perry,
Jones,
Kevin King. Kevin King was not the first round pick, but he was their first pick.
In 2017, and he's now somehow back in the league with the Atlanta Falcons. Congratulations, Kevin King, by the way.
Good luck. Good luck. He got hurt, but I mean, injuries ruined him a little bit. And, you know, he seemed like a real nice guy from the little bit that I dealt with him.
Yeah.
But he's back. Well, he's in Atlanta with Gary Gray.
Mm-hmm.
That's the connection there, I believe.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so Ted. But no, Goody, I've been surprised almost every year. I mean, the first year, right, is that's when he traded down and traded back up and wound up with Alexander.
With Jair.
Which no one saw. I mean, who knew? I mean, you know, that was – no one was predicting him taking Alexander. Again, we can't anticipate a trade. So when he was picking like 12 or whatever it was, we didn't know he was going to trade down and get a second one, and then move, you know, we didn't that. So there's that year. Gary wasn't talked about a lot, right?
Right. No. Not a lot.
They just signed the Smith brothers. They just signed both Smiths, so no one.
Right.
If you were thinking edge rusher prior to free agency, oh well, they're not going to draft an edge guy now. They just signed, you know, Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. They're
right.
Okay. And they had Kyle Fackrell, who had just come off a 10-sack season.
Yeah, and don't forget the jockeying that they did the year prior and netted them that second pick they used on Darnell Savage, who was also not one that I saw coming. But
no. So then that second. And I was the only person in America not surprised they took a lot. I really wasn't. I opened my eyes, but I wasn't like, oh, my God. I was like, they really did it. They really, because I had written about that. I had written about Jordan Love, mm-hmm. and that Goody had said, if the quarterback we like is there, he wouldn't say who, obviously. Yeah, we would take him. Well, that was the one he liked.
Yeah.
And he actually moved up a little bit to get him. But
yeah.
That shocked the world. Who was after Love? Was that?
Stokes.
Yeah, that was a little predictable. Well, we knew corner, we just didn't know which one.
So Eric Stokes and 21, yeah, and then 22 was Quay and Devontae Wyatt.
That surprised everybody because everyone thought Wyatt was too old, that they don't take older guys, and that they don't take off ball linebackers.
Second first round pick though, I don't know what the approach is or the more thinking there is where that maybe you don't go as calculated in that second one, or you take more of a risk, I guess is the word I should use.
Yeah, but no one. I didn't see anybody mocking Wyatt and Walker to the Packers.
Not many. There weren't many. No, there weren't many. Not that I saw.
Everybody was talking wide receiver.
Yeah, there weren't many that I saw. So
I wanted them to move up and get Olave, but that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stokes was the most predictable in my mind. I matter of fact, I may have given them Stokes. I know there was like three corners that were all. It was Stokes. It was the kid that went right above him, Newsom, from Ohio State. And then Asante Samuel Jr., who went early second round, mm-hmm. I believe. But I thought Samuel was too small for them.
You don't hear his name much right now.
He's all right. I mean, you know, Stokes has been hurt too. But so, yeah, that was the most predictable one. And then last year, Van Ness, yeah, some people thought that. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I'll be honest. I didn't think they were going that route. So, yeah, he has been – He doesn't do what you think he's going to do. Let's leave it at that, right? I mean, and he's been good at it for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I said, I think he's earned the trust in that whatever it is that they end up doing, you have to believe that it's going to be a good thing for the team long term. Just not just this year, but this year and for the next couple of years ahead. But this team's a contender, so this draft is important. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on it because they've proven that they can win games. And so this is a team that is set up to compete now. So it's not like you can just take this 3 or 4 year runway. Like you do need players as much as you draft for the future. I get that, but you do need players that can step in and contribute now because there's work to be done in 2024.
And they're going to be like, well, the first round's always exciting, right? Because it's the first round of the draft and everybody's watching and Thursday night and all that. But the Friday night's going to be real interesting. That's where the Packers have 4 picks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can do a lot of stuff Friday night.
Yeah.
They could package and move up. They could trade. They could do a lot of things, but 2 seconds and 2/3. So, I mean, that's good. Friday's going to be the most fun night, I think, as a Packer fan. Unless they use those to move up in the first round. Who knows?
Yeah, then Thursday night could get really, really, really interesting.
I mean, if they want to, they could move. And we'll get into this more because I think we had the draft preview show. There's nobody I'm real crazy about moving up for.
Yeah.
That's just me. I think this draft, after the top, if they can move up and get Marvin Harrison, who I think is the best player in the draft, yes. Or Joe Alt, because I like his name. Plus, he's a great, great tackle. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to get that. They it would take too much to get that high, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are going to be top. Plus, the team picking that, you know, Arizona picking 4, that they can get Marvin Harrison. They're not going to drop all the way to 25. Even if you give them a 2 twos and a 3 and whatever else, they don't want to go all the way down to 25.
Right.
So there's no way the Packers are going to get up. I read somebody wrote, if the Packers package this, 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 and this, they can get to number 5. I'm like, but why would the Chargers want to? Yeah, you're giving them a lot of stuff, but they're not getting a superstar impact player going that far down where they can just stay at 5 and take Harrison or all. Mm-hmm. You know? So that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
but anyway, so but from an offensive standpoint, I think, you started off by saying quarterback, running back, tight end, wide receiver. Yeah, they're pretty much the Packers are kind of, you're never set because like you said, it could always be a great player, but it's not what you would call a need in any one of those positions now.
Not currently.
Offensive line, yes. Offensive line, they certainly need bodies.
Yeah, they do. And I guess there it's almost like, you know, I think that's where the majority of the discussion lies. And you threw a couple names out there too and some notes there where I think the Packers are most likely to get busy is up front and add some depth up there too. And you've got to do better on the interior than having a Royce Newman, for example,
as
a backup and stuff like that. You can get better there and you cannot afford to have to, you know, if your starter goes down, you're in trouble. That's why they're the starter. But you can't afford to be risking and trotting out there someone that you know is not going to perform well on a team that has high expectations and it's going to impact their ability to take advantage of, you know, a small window, because that's what the NFL is all about. It's about windows of opportunity, and the Packers have one right now. They need to take advantage of it as much as they possibly can. So any final nuggets before
before we sign off?
Yeah.
Let me give you some, because I gave you Jordan Morgan's, the guy that I like early as an offensive lineman for the Packers. He's got a tackle that can play guard. I think he fits their profile pretty well. Later on, like maybe, you know, late in the, you know, third round kind of guys, the center from West Virginia, Zach Frazier. And he's a guy you could draft and let him sit for a year behind Myers mm-hmm. or compete with Myers and see what happens. And then, you know, see what you like about him. And maybe he takes over for Myers eventually. The other one is a center from Georgia. We know the Packers have liked Georgia players in the past. Cedric Van Pran, he's probably a third round guy as well. Now he might be. Now both of those guys might be. Like that's where the Packers, with the picks they have, they have 11 total picks, and like I said, 5-4 on day 2. They could use some of those later picks to move up in the third round too. You know, like last year they did the opposite. Remember they kept moving back, and it worked mm-hmm. out great for them. Mm-hmm. They moved up down. They still got Jaden Reed, and they added Carl Brooks and Sean Clifford, was it? Whatever they did, they got 3 good players just by moving down.
Moving back.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah. An interesting name, I think, on the offensive line. He's probably going to go middle somewhere. Is Zach Zinter from Michigan, who got hurt. So his health is a big issue, but he's a guy that probably would have been a second round pick maybe if he didn't get hurt, probably a high second round pick. You might get him in the like fourth round now. And all right, he's probably not going to, he might not be ready to play this year, but on a team like the Packers, that might be okay. Right. Stash him around for a year. Let him learn, let him watch, coach him up. And then next year you have a healthy guy that would have gone second round that, you know, that you got in the fourth.
Right. Future looking and not necessarily just this year. So I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged with the amount of capital that they have and the moving around that they did. I'm going to allow myself to have those high expectations for this draft. Whether they end up making 11, no, I don't think they will. Whether they end up making 11 picks or they end up only making 6, I have very high hopes for this draft.
I do too. You should.
And so we're only 2 weeks away, and so hang in there because the draft is coming up soon. And then after that, it's the march towards the schedule will come out, and then it's the march towards mini camps. We'll actually get to hear about some of these players on the field and what they look like. We'll get to hear from the coaches, and it'll start building up the momentum. It's a usual thing, you know, through the summer, and then all of a sudden training camp breaks, and it's the Twitter refresh thumb, you know, tendonitis that sets in, which is always exciting every year. I know you don't do that, but I do. So it'll be fun. But I know that you kind of touched on this last week. I think we're kind of you're set over at Packer Report because you did so much work on the front end here. So what's up now? What's coming up?
What was up now is what we just talked about. The today was the last day of the offensive rankings. It was the interior lineman, which I kind of teased a little bit, saying that the scouts told me it's the best group of interior linemen they've seen in years. So that's up now. If you want to read about who the best guards and centers are in the draft, that's up there today. But all the offenses up for the last few days, you can go back and look. I mean, all my offensive players are quarterback, receiver, tight end, running back, tackle, now guards and centers. And then starting next week will be all the defensive. We'll go with defensive line and edge. And actually, I'm sorry. No, I'm wrong about that, because we tape this where we tape on Wednesday. Starting today, Thursday, will be on Wednesday was the last day of the offense with the guards and centers. Starting Thursday will be the defense with defensive linemen. And then next week will be the edge rushers, linebackers, cornerbacks, safeties. You know, there'll be one every day.
Okay. 14 short days till the draft comes up. And then if there's any news or notes between now and then, if there's anything worthy of slants, I'll do a quick slants podcast. Otherwise, you'll get one from me after the draft weekend with the recap of everybody else that was taken by the team and some breakdowns and some thoughts on all that kind of stuff there too. Hope everybody is doing well wherever you're at. I hope everybody's eyes are okay post-eclipse. Everybody was smart and used their goggles to watch it if it happened in your locale or not. And take care of yourself wherever you're at. Hopefully spring has sprung and the weather's starting to get a little bit warmer. And we'll be back at it again next week, next Thursday. In the meantime, and as always, go Pack, go.